Welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the pot of thunder and rock and roll. We're getting some all rock and roll today. A great band that supported Fozzy on our Judas Rising tour back in May. Talking about King with a Y. And the entire band is here. Only once in history has that happened. Well, actually twice. We had the whole Fozzy band. Then we had all of Living Color. And today we have all of King, Eddie, Tony, Pepe here on Talk is Jericho. Hey, everyone loves King. You know why? Because they're a great rock and roll band and they're a great group of guys too. Very funny, very humble, very lovable. Let me tell you this, Dave Mustaine from Megadeth took him under his wing and gave them some great and funny advice. You hear that James Hetfield from Metallica personally asked them to be a part of the Orion Festival a few years ago, then asked if he could introduce them before they hit the stage. Geez, James, let me check my schedule. I'm sure they were thinking. Jose Mangan, Talk is Jericho alumni, also the heavy metal flag bearer at Sirius XM, has been championing them since they landed their first record deal, and Jose's the one who introduced me to King's music as well. We're going to talk about all of that, about the bus share that they did with Fozzy, why they're my favorite bus share band of all the tours we've done. We got a little music debate about the greatest rock songs of all time. And of course, they got plenty of crazy rock and roll stories about traveling around the country. Just the three of them in a van. Yeah, they're their own crew, which is another reason why people love them. They manage their own career, handle all their own business affairs, all their own match tech for themselves. They are a true DIY rock and roll band, and they are funny, very funny. King is coming up, and that is K-Y-N-G, by the way. You hear that story as well. King is going to be here. My Vatitos are getting ready to be on Talk is Jericho. But first, the countdown is on until my fourth book, No is a Four-Letter Word, drops on August 29th. But you can pre-order it now at my Amazon store. Just go to amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. You can get all the Fozzy albums there as well, along with all my previous books. Once again, amazon.com/shop/IamJericho. You are going to love No is a Four-Letter Word. It is a new 20-step program on how you can achieve your goals. 20 principles that I've learned over the years. And if you came to the Dublin is Jericho, Belfast is Jericho spoken word shows, I told a couple of them stories. You are going to love them. They're funny. Wait to hear Vince McMahon, Bad Cow, the Keith Richards story, and many, many more. Lots of good stuff. All right, speaking of Keith Richards and music and Fozzy, what a segue that was. The new album is coming in September, the new Fozzy record. And thanks to you guys, the first single, Judas, is now number 26. On the Billboard Active Rock charts, our highest charting single to date. It's number 5 on the Sirius XM Octane Countdown, and it's the number 1 most added single in the entire United States. Let's check it out. We got to get to number 1, but for right now, let's check out Fozzy right here. Judas.
Beautiful on the inside, you are innocence personified, and I will track you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out this soul made of stone, and I will drag. Embraced by the darkness, I'm losing the light.
playing Judas when we head to the UK this fall on the Judas Rising, a UK, a European tour, starting October 27th in Birmingham, England at the O2 Academy 2. And we got Dublin, Belfast, Chester, Manchester, London, Sheffield, and Glasgow, and Newcastle. That's on November 5th. Then November 7th is Amsterdam, Offenburg, Germany, Pratteln, Roncade, Rome, Vienna, Munich, Essen, Hamburg, Genk, Belgium, Germany, Austria, Italy, Switzerland, Netherlands, England, Scotland. We're going everywhere, man. We're doing VIP meet and greets and pre-show mini concert for all of those dates. The Fozzy Experience is one of the best VIP experiences, and we make sure you get your money's worth. So please get your tickets at FozzyRock.com and come rock with us before the show. Come play some songs with us. If you want to sing a song, now's your chance to come on stage and do that with Fozzy. FozzyRock.com for all information. All right, King is on the way. And you know why I'm able to have such great guests on Talkers Jericho like King? It's thanks to you guys supporting all the great sponsors. I know a lot of you are already on the DDP Yoga program just like me, and if you live in the UK, WWE Hall of Famer Diamond Dallas Page just announced the DDP UK tour. He's bringing his crazy stories, over-the-top motivation, hilarious Q&As, and live DDP yoga workshops to the UK. The DDP UK tour hits Glasgow, Manchester, Birmingham, and London starting September 2nd. You'll be able to meet Dallas in person, take a selfie with him, have him sign an autograph, do whatever you want to do, and even better, he's going to teach you how to do yoga up close and personal. Join in on the inspiration meets perspiration experience, and find out why Dallas has the most infectious energy. He's a great dude. You're going to love him. Go to ddpuktour.com to reserve your spot and get all the details. One-on-one face-to-face yoga with DDP. That's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. ddpuktour.com. And if Dallas isn't going to be in a city near you anytime soon, get the DDP Yoga Now app and get on the track to healthier living. I got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone, so I can just open the app and do a workout wherever I am, whenever I want to do it. Over 150 workouts on the app, as well as the opportunity to do live workouts from the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. And DDP Yoga can help you get in shape and live a healthier life as well. Dallas has thought of everything because he truly cares about everyone. He wants everyone to live a healthier life, meet all of your fitness goals, and his DDP yoga program is great for anyone, everyone, any age, any skill level. I'm telling you, I know from experience, Diamond Dallas Page has made it so easy for you, that's right, you, to get on board his life-changing program. Just take advantage of this tremendous deal that Dallas is offering. He's giving you 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY match swag and clothing. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. It's time to own your life, get in the best physical and mental shape you've ever been in, and do it now. Start today, ddpyoga.com/Jericho. This really works. I'm living proof. I guarantee it.
Hey, it's Shaq, and when the NBA offseason explodes like it just did, you know we're all over it on the Big Podcast with Shaq. All summer, we're bringing you the biggest guests from the NBA, the biggest stars in Hollywood, and tons of great laughs. We're way bigger than a sports podcast. So check us out this week, the Big Podcast with Shaq, with new episodes every Monday at PodcastOne.com.
This is Talk is Jericho.
All right, so after setting up my gear for the last 10 minutes with the entire lineup of King here in the back lounge of the bus on tour, Fozzy and King. And I'm not just saying this. We've had a lot of bus share people, which means that you guys ride on the bus with us. You guys are my favorite guys on the
bus.
All
right. Thank you, man.
It's been a blast touring with you, and I know we're basically only halfway through, but the thing that always impressed me about you guys is that you guys don't do a lot of bus tours. You tour all over the place, but mostly just in a van.
Yeah.
Just the three of us, no crew. For the first time recently, we brought over a sound guy with us, but since then, just us three.
Is that hard when you guys get to a venue and you have to rely on the house sound guy?
Yes. Oh, it's the worst.
Man. It's horrible because you never know who gives a
right
or who doesn't. Sometimes they're good and just don't care, and sometimes they're not good and really trying, and it just sounds bad. And you can see
sometimes they think they're good and they suck.
You see it in people's faces.
You are now. Let's do it. But I mean,
I'm not going to air it now. But yeah
exactly. This whole thing's been canceled. But that's the thing. We've had those problems before when you have
you know, you show up at a venue and you got a good crowd and you can just see it in their eyes where they're kind of like not really giving you the reactions you want, and then you find out after, oh, dude, like the sound was horrible.
Right. Yeah.
We couldn't even hear you.
We had that in Orlando, and that was the last time we said we're never traveling without a sound guy again, ever, because of that reason.
Right. Yeah.
And you guys, too, like even the other day, we were in Dubuque at the Battle of the Bands.
tell us what it was.
The high school Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, the venue is basically a high school gym for whatever reason.
I forget what it was
behind a restaurant.
Yeah, behind a restaurant.
And the restaurant courtside. Had a shower in the bathroom, and I showered in the bathroom. While people were walking in and out of the bathroom. I'm like, hey, how you doing?
And there was that's the penis of the bass player of King.
There was a beach volleyball court outside, etc.
Yeah,
but when we were playing there, when you guys were doing your sound check, the guy has a little like iPad, and he's like checking levels on his iPad, which just seems cool in theory.
Right, right.
But I mean, you guys just kind of have to deal with whatever you get.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're at the mercy of the sound guy. So, I mean, shit, if it's... We just keep our fingers crossed. You know, we know our songs. You know, we play them every night. So we just hope to God that it sounds good up front.
We've said no more to that. We're not doing that. Like, we're going to bring out a sound guy whenever possible from now on. We did a tour with Clutch, and their sound guy did sound for us.
Lee!
And we saw a difference in merch sales. Like, whatever we were paying him, like... We made up for, you know, like, because
people actually can hear what the hell we're talking
about. You're doing,
What about when you do a tour like with Megadeth or something like that? No sound guy?
No sound guy. Yeah.
Who does sound then?
The house guy.
Like every arena? I'm assuming you did arenas or?
No, it was clubs. It was big.
With Megadeth?
Big clubs.
Like House of Blues or something?
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So are those guys, for the most part, fairly good? The sound guys in a place like the
yes.
House of
Blues?
Yeah,
for the most part, yeah.
Okay.
That's always better. Those venues have professional dudes. Most of them tour, you know, and they're just there for
those bigger places too, they're always kind of like, oh, I heard about you dudes, and they kind of go back and do their homework and listen. They're like, oh, I know what you guys want. We're gonna weigh your vocals tonight, and you know.
And then we go to repeated venues where we've been there before, and the sound guy will already, oh, I've done sound for you guys before,
gotcha.
And they picked up our album since and they dial it in,
touring,
you know,
nonstop.
So they got it in there. So tell me, like, you guys mentioned how you just tour on your own. Is being on a bus, like, is it feel weird for you guys? Do you like it?
It's pros and cons.
Yeah, like, well, tell us some of the pros and cons.
Man, the van gives you so much freedom to do whatever you want, to stop whenever you want, to, you know, like, oh, I got a shit. I'll just pull over, you know. And here it's like, oh man, I'm gonna stop the bus. The bus driver's gonna get pissed off.
Crap in a bag in my bunk.
His eye is wearing down, you know.
By the way, Eddie's on top of me, so if you're crapping in the bunk, that's that's coming down on me, dude.
I've been on top of you twice. You've been asleep.
So any other cons? Or is that the biggest one? The freedom.
That's to me is the biggest one.
Okay, what are the pros?
Well, we don't have to drive.
Yeah,
you just get to sleep while someone else is driving. So that's good.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Thing, right?
Although we're worried about our driver driving off the road, weirdo.
That happens too. Like, we've had bus drivers before where they get crazy on the road and they'll swerve back and forth, and you're like, did he just check his phone? Like, what is he doing?
Right.
It is a little bit scary, you know.
A little bit. The first time I was on a bus, I couldn't sleep because I was worried about the bus driver, and then I told myself, like, if I'm awake or asleep, it's not going to make a difference. I'm not going to be able to stop this bus from crashing. And I just, like, passed out.
Joey Belladonna always rides with the bus driver in the front to make sure he doesn't fall asleep.
Really?
Until, like, 5, 6 in the morning, yeah.
That's crazy.
But I'm like, Joey, as soon as you go to bed, the guy might go to bed. He said, but he can't go to sleep unless he knows the bus driver's awake because of that Metallica bus crash and all that sort of thing.
Absolutely, man.
That's, like, the worst thing that could ever happen. Have you guys ever had any problems when you've been in your van?
Oh, dude, I smashed a deer. That was scary.
That was pretty scary.
You hit a
deer?
Oh, yeah. These guys were asleep. We were driving, and it just came out of nowhere. It actually crossed, and if it would have just kept going, it would have lived. But it went across, stopped, looked at me, and was like, oh, hey, let me go back for something, and pow, right in the face. And that sucked, and shit the side of the foot.
We got hit by a drunk driver once.
We got hit by drunk drivers. Yeah.
That was
crazy.
And, in Austin. Yeah.
We got hit parked at a Walmart. In Juarez, waiting
Paso,
for you. In El Paso,
Someone just ran into you?
Just ran into us. He and I were sleeping, and Tony and I were sleeping, and someone just smashed into the van. We're like, what the hell? And they took off.
They were long gone by the time we got out.
It's scary because we're tired. You know, like, we're doing shows and then driving all night or waking up really early to drive, and... Yeah, it's tough. Like, that's a scary thing. You know, whatever can happen to a professional bus driver can obviously happen to us, you know, and we can doze off or... check our phones at the wrong moment. You know,
it all takes a second, right? So do you guys travel in the same van all the time? Do you own a van?
We do.
Yeah, we've
two more payments, and that baby's ours.
Yeah, actually, that's the truth.
That's no joke.
So where do you leave it? Like, where is it now?
Well, right now I'll leave it at my place. Like, I'll park it.
He'll leave
the street
at his place,
at Tony's place. Yeah,
yeah, Tony's place. Yeah. And
I forgot to say it's Eddie, Tony, and Pepe. By the way, I just assumed you guys all knew who they are. So there you go. So
I always get complaints. You know, it's like I have to move it constantly because I have my vehicle that I'm using every day. You know, so I have to constantly move it somewhere else because I don't use the van at home.
Yeah.
Much, so.
But where is it now, though? Because I know you guys are picking it up.
Right
at
now,
some point.
It's in Jersey, right?
Right now, it's in New Jersey. Yeah.
How did I get to Jersey?
Song guy that we were with. He went to Carolina Rebellion with us. We loaded the trailer for the bus. He drove the van to Savannah, where he lives now. But he's originally from New Jersey. So he was going to drive up anyway because he had a vacation with his girlfriend. And so he drove it to New Jersey. We're getting the air fixed, which we haven't had in about a year, which sucks.
And you guys really are just scumbags.
We are, man. We're like the lowest of the low.
And so when we get a bus, we're going to break the AC just so we can stay punk rock, you know?
We're going to paint the bus white.
This is too comfortable.
Make it look like a van.
So are you guys going to, like, when you finally own it, are you going to write King on the side or something like that?
No, F all that. We're going to write Free Puppies because it's like a perv van anyways. Free Puppies and Candy.
Come on,
open
inside.
The door. Come inside.
You know, chicks might show up.
You don't want people knowing it's a band. Oh, right. Then your shit gets stolen.
Yeah, you become a target for the cops.
Cops too, right?
Cop target.
I'd always heard if you have a red car, it's a cop target. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like a psychological thing, or what?
I don't know. I guess if you have like a red Camaro or a red Mustang, it stands out more, and cops will are more apt.
Because imagine,
or if
like
the Mexican is driving, it also stands out.
We got
red car,
red
yellow
cars, brown
car,
drivers.
White car.
We got
Let's pull
that
guy over. Mexican with a car, pull him over.
We got pulled over in Arizona, remember? Because you were driving.
I don't know if it was because I was driving, but
that's what the cops said.
Oh,
remember, he pulled Nick was with us. It was like our first run, and this guy starts driving. You have your hat on, and the cops were following us, and they pulled you over. And the cop apparently told his buddy, like, oh, man, you better watch out. Like, shit's going to go down. You're going to see, like, 40 Mexicans running out of this van.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Obviously, he pulled us over, and it was, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek. And at the end, I was like, you pulled us over because this guy was driving, right? And he was like, yeah.
Yeah, you got me. Here's the thing, too. Like, I used to live in Mexico for 2 years wrestling there in Mexico City. And there's Mexican guys, and there's guys that look super Mexican. Mm. Tony, you look like...
You don't say, pal.
Big chick.
You mean I don't look like John Travolta?
Juan Travolta.
Chips.
So, and another thing that I was going to ask you guys is, like, for example, my only rule on the road is I like having a shower in the morning, so we always get a day room. You guys, when you are on a van, do you have hotels and vans, or where do you guys shower and all that stuff?
No, we usually just try to find gyms. And we call them ahead of time, and we try to get them to let us in.
We give them the sob story.
What's the sob story?
Oh, well, we're in a band. We're passing through. It's just three of us. Could you please just let us work out and like
just a couple hours? We just want to shower.
Yeah, we won't take up too much. We'll put you on the guest list if you want to go to the show.
You want to go free show?
You know Fozzy? You want to go see Fozzy?
Yeah, you know Chris Jericho.
You like wrestling? You like wrestling?
We'll put you.
You want to go? And so, they'll usually say no.
There's no shower for that day.
Right.
Or do you just go somewhere else?
We'll go to another gym.
We keep trying until we find one.
Yeah, we're pretty persistent. But we avoid hotels at all costs.
At all costs.
So we get them on days off. If the drive is short enough, like we'll get a hotel. Then.
When we were green, we had no clue. And no tricks. You know, like when you're starting out, we would go 8 days, no shower, just pure ball sex.
Wow. Without a trailer.
In the summer.
Really? Yeah, we were without a trailer for a year and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
But see, no band does that now. Like I remember,
just idiots like us.
we had a random show in Poughkeepsie a couple years ago. It was us and Josta, and you guys were on it.
Yeah, that was the first time I
met you guys.
Yeah.
And
rain.
You pulled in the trailer, and I was like, these guys don't have a crew. They have their van. Like, I thought it was really cool, but I was like, oh my god, this is old school.
Yeah,
coming up, set up the shit, play the damn show, take it down, go to the merch stand.
Yeah. Every time we show up, there's a headliner, and we show up as, like, the main support or whatnot, you see the crew just, like, their eyes are like, oh, shit, this is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah,
they have no crew.
Oh, they just think you guys would be, like, just total rookies or something?
Total rookies. Yeah. We're going to get on stage, and we're not going to be able to get off.
That's
what everyone's afraid of, timing, you know?
First day of tour with Megadeth, the Countdown to Extinction, it was just us and them. Big tour.
They did the Countdown album in its entirety?
Yeah,
the
20th anniversary.
20th anniversary. And, we pulled up and there was like two buses and then a semi, and then we pull up in the van and trailer.
Rickety ass.
Yeah. I remember the crew. We started to get to, you know, meet the crew, and they're like, "Well, so where's the rest of your people?" And they're like tripping out. And we just have the van and trailer, you know.
Sometimes when I pull up, they'll be like, "Where's the band?" And I'm like, "We're the band, asshole."
That happens when we're on stage. We're like line checkings, and they're like, people are waiting for the band to come out. We're like, oh, we're the band.
Who's your merch guy? You're looking at him, you know?
Yeah. Even for those shows, those Megadeth shows, too.
We like, did our own merch, yeah.
Wow. So what do you do when you guys are playing? Just put a clothes sign on the...
Yeah, we just
kind of put back in
trinkets.
5 minutes?
Yeah, the clock.
We have an honor system.
Leave your money. Take a t-shirt, leave your money.
Take a shirt, leave your 20
bucks. It's like Coldplay. Pay what you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Total hippie. But then that's become kind of your gimmick. Do you guys like it this way, or is it by necessity?
It's by necessity, for sure. You know, I mean, because... We're done playing. Usually Eddie goes up to the merch table because everybody wants to see the singer, you know, talk to the singer, and usually that draws a crowd, and we gain a few sales.
I was talking about being in the van, though. Like, do you still have to do it this way?
Yeah.
Or do you like to do it this
way? We have to. Okay, we really have to. I mean, it's just too much for us, you know, to be on the bus, you know, just the three of us, and then to pay a crew. It's like,
sure.
you come home with absolutely zero money.
Well, then that's nowadays, people don't realize that, you know. And Rich and I made a deal last tour. It's like, we're not doing tours where we don't make money anymore. Like, it's just like, you know, and sometimes you get caught up in all the expenses and realize, like, holy shit, like, we come home.
We lost money.
Yeah. And that's, you don't want to, why bother?
A lot of bands do that. They just want to look like they're living luxuriously. Right? Yeah. And they come home owing money, you know, and it's like they just do it so that they can have that look.
Yeah, we ran into a few bands who look like they're, like, massive, and they'd be like, I make maybe $100
a week.
Wow. Like,
whoa.
Yeah, you put it all in the production. Yeah, what's the point, right? And how long have you guys been together as a band?
2009?
2008.
So about 10 years or so. About a decade.
Almost, yeah.
You know, it's interesting to me because I love this tour as well, because it's like, you guys remind me of, like, Sabbath in 1978. Our vibe is more like Van Halen in 1978.
Yeah.
So that's a good, really cool mix, because it's very entertaining and energetic, but it's in two different kind of styles of music. You guys are obviously big Sabbath fans.
100%.
Definitely.
Best favorite band?
One of my favorites, for sure.
There's a lot. Zeppelin, Sabbath, Cream, early Jethro Tull, Pantera, of course. You know, so.
I guess Sabbath shows more in their music, but we definitely have a wide variety of...
Cyndi Lauper.
Kidding. Dude, I wouldn't even laugh if you said that. What were we listening to the other day? Was it Thin Lizzy?
Thin Lizzy. We were listening to Thin Lizzy.
Thin Lizzy, favorite band, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love Thin Lizzy. Pink Floyd, you know, all the old school. We're definitely classic rock. No. Beppe comes more from the heavy metal.
I was very much into thrash when I was growing up.
Gotcha.
And that like, I was the closed-minded thrash metal, like, if it's not fast, like
Poser.
Like, I hated everything else. And as I got older, my mind opened up a lot, so I got into a lot of other music, but way older, like, I felt like an idiot.
Being with these guys, does that kind of open up your musical
Absolutely.
Mindset?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it started before, where I was, like, you know, experimenting with other stuff. I liked jazz when I was growing up, so, like, I definitely listened to that, but it was, like, thrash or jazz, and that was it. And then, well, with Tony and I used to play in another band, and he would sit up front with me while I was driving, and he would play some music.
Roadhead.
Oh, that's awesome, man. What's that?
I said Roadhead.
I didn't even get it. I was like,
everyone had to think about that for a second.
Oh, yeah. When we got King together, I think Beppe was. You were kind of like the hardest dude to, like, kind of pull back, but not really. But you were like, let's put a blast beat here. Can we put a thrash beat here?
Is that his
exact intention? Yeah, that's my.
Well, dude, you want to play? Let's do it faster here.
Everything he wanted a blast beat on every song. Yeah, he was like, how about double bass here? No.
Thought it was pretty awesome, though.
No, it was, and there was a lot of really cool things that we come up with. You know, in the studio or just, you know, just jamming out, that Beppe will just slam it. He's just a killer drummer in general, you know. But, you know, he'll take an idea that I have and just turn it into something super awesome.
Right.
And that comes from, like, the metal background in him. He's, like, really, in this band, he's the guy that knows the shit, you know. Like, he knows that part's wrong. The timing's off. And, you know, he'll make us, like, kind of, like, pull us into being right, where we have to pull him back, you know.
I like how your imitation makes him sound like a Bond villain. This is not right.
It is time to change the tempo. I kill you, then.
But, I mean, it's interesting, too, is that a rare thing is the power trio. which right. in the 70s and in the 80s was more prevalent. I think you're probably the only one I can think of right now. And some of my favorite bands are power trios, from Rush. I love Primus. I love Raven, old school heavy metal band Raven. So what did you always want to be a power trio? Obviously, like Cream, and or did you just not couldn't find a fourth guy?
Well, I was just, as we talked, as you and I discussed, we're talking about Thin Lizzy. Yeah. I love dual harmonies, guitar harmonies. Right. I love them. And I remember telling Eddie, oh, man, we should get another guitar player. And for a little while, for like a second, we thought about a few people. And Eddie said, you know what, man, we should just keep it this way, and you need to step it up. You need to fill in the holes with bass and maybe do sometimes harmonize stuff on bass. And I thought, I was like, man, yeah, I guess we could try to do that, you know. And it's been working out, you know, so far, and it's great.
I think you're the – is there another power trio out there right now?
I'm sure there is.
I mean, yeah.
I can't think of anybody, though. Because that means you really have to. I mean, in the band, the bass player has to fill in the Police. I forgot the Police. Right. One of my all time favorite bands.
Right.
Where Sting is at the forefront, and Andy Summers, much like Alex Lifeson and Rush, is kind of almost the background player to the bass. This band is not like that. You guys are kind of dueling back and forth right. at most times.
Yeah, we try to fill up as much space as possible. You right. know, we would constantly our second record, we would be like told to stop playing, you know, play less. And we're like, this is just how we do it live, man. Let's fucking rock it. So we got scolded aplenty on that record, but yeah, we just have to do it, you know. I mean, you see us live, we're a better live band than we are on record.
Which is, a lot of bands are the other way around.
Yeah.
You guys really are great live rock and roll band.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Very unassuming, too. Like, I like your stage banter. It's very much, like, very Southern California. Are you from Southern California?
Born and raised Los Angeles, California.
There you go. Yeah. And it's much like the Avenged guys coming from Huntington, that OC, just surfer. What's up, dude?
Yeah,
like, that's kind of, heard you yelling at some guy in the crowd about looking at his boyfriend or something.
There's these kids last night. They were just like... uninterested. Anytime there's someone uninterested in the band, I mean, because we're like giving it, we're like basically have to light ourselves on fire to like,
right,
you know, get some attention from some people. And these dudes were just like on their phones. I was like, you need, you know, they're just wanting to be playing Call of Duty and masturbating or something like that.
To their imaginary girlfriends.
To their imaginary girlfriends, yeah. They were like pissed after that. Like, so, but then they pay attention, you know, because they don't want to be picked on. So they're like, oh, shit.
What is kind of frustrating when you see people on their phones when you're playing?
It is.
You know, and even when they're filming, too. Like, you're not going to watch this back.
And you automatically assume when you're on stage, oh, he's, you know, yeah, you feel disrespected or whatever.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they might be texting their friends how great the band is or something. So
you can see it in their face, though. Like, they'll do they'll look at the camera and they'll look at you and they'll, like, try to, like, you know, nail a shot, and then they'll look at the shot and they'll try to, like, send it to somebody.
Yeah, you can see that. I get it. I guess it's just the modern way of watching a concert.
Yeah.
But I was watching Avenged.
Horrible way.
I was watching Avenged a couple years ago, but the soundboard. It was this big venue, amphitheater. And I was texting my friend, this is great. And Shadows goes, hey, Jericho, stop texting from the stage. And I was like,
that's
A,
funny.
How did you see me? B, I'm texting my friend to tell him how good you are, asshole. But you always feel like, hey, put your phone away. I'm like, okay, sorry. But yeah, that's just the
sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Talk is Jericho.
So when you guys, I noticed too, another thing that I find really interesting is your artwork. And even when you gave me this nice big bottle of vodka, with the King logo was written on it, in the font, along with a flying saucer on the side of it.
Sombrero, bro. It's a sombrero on the goose, all right?
Tomato, tomato.
Is somebody here doing that artwork? One of you three guys?
I typically do the artwork, but Beppe will dabble in some...
I do the artwork that looks a little more childish than
like
the cool shit.
Like, who did your backdrop? Who did that
picture? Oh, that was, what's his name?
That was Connor Nolan.
Oh, okay, so that wasn't one of you guys.
No.
Gotcha.
But it was our concept, you know, we're like, we wanted this, you know, we wanted to make it perfect, and the kid nailed it. I don't even know, I've never even seen the guy, to be honest. It was like the record label threw him our way, but he did a great job.
Awesome job.
He did an amazing job.
How did you guys get the name King?
Dude, we were eating Chinese food,
and
we were trying to come up with a name, and I was just like,
So we liked the band The Crown, and we thought, man, it sounds so powerful, like The Crown, and like, we were discussing that, and then Tony said, like,
what about King? Just like that. What about King? Let's do that.
And I was like, yeah, I like it. Like, it's very like imposing. It's like, you know,
and it's one word. You know,
it's one word.
Like,
yeah,
we wanted to stay away from...
like Madonna or Cher.
And then we did the horrible mistake of with a Y. So now we have to spell it out every time we say our name.
It's King with a Y.
Why the Y? Why not? Well, yeah. I was thinking, like, when I first saw it, I'm like, well, I've been waiting my whole life for a band to have this name because you got Queen.
Yeah. Right.
You got Prince. Why has there never been a king?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
Now there's 75 kings out there.
Is there? Yeah. Oh, if you look with online, and you type it in with a Y. No, you started.
Yeah.
We own the copyright, so
but like, with a Y.
So if anybody wants to get sued,
but that's what you see it with. You see it with Y's, like other artists.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And I think there was one artist where they sent him a cease and desist or something like that. So he added another Y and another G.
K-Y-Y-N-G-G. Because is there not a band that tours in our circle, like in the metal world? Are they called the King 550 or King
810?
King 810.
Yeah. 810, yes.
At one time, someone said King's on the bill, and I was like, oh shit. And I was looking for you guys, and I just saw King 810, and I was disappointed.
They're a heavier band. Like, they're like, I think they're like hardcore. Hardcore band.
They're opening for someone like
they're from Michigan.
Sugar or something, whatever it was.
I heard they don't like us, but we don't care.
I have no clue.
It's one of those things where
we've never met him.
We don't really pay attention to that. It's like somebody saying, you know, hey, there's somebody else named Chris. You know, you better feud with
him. They
don't
like you just because of that?
Well, I mean, not that they don't like us, but we have been. I guess some of their fans have kind of said, gotcha, hey, this king's better than that king. It's like, who cares? You
know? We're like, yeah, all right.
It's a completely different genre.
That king is 810 times better than this king.
Exactly.
Okay, you win.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Done. Exactly.
You know what you guys need to do is change your name to King 811.
Oh, there you go.
We're one better.
King 001.
We're the first.
So you guys talk about opening. You mentioned Megadeth and Clutch. And you guys got a lot of really cool tours. Who is the hardest band to open for as far as fans? Can you get any?
Oh, my Lord. Yeah. You know what's so crazy is that those, like, the pop radio bands, you know, they've tried to, like, mold us into this, like, weird radio band, which we're not. Love Sabbath. We love, you know, we're always kind of like just a metal or hard rock band, heavy music, 100%.
Yes.
That being said, they've put us out with, like, Sick Puppies and, like, Seether.
Really?
Which we love the Seether dudes.
The best dudes in the world.
They're awesome.
Seether a power trio?
They were.
Okay.
When we toured with them, they were. And when you asked, I was going to say them, but then they added a guy. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was the first time we ever got booed. Remember?
Yeah.
You got booed
while on stage. Yeah.
Opening for Seether and Sick Puppies.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was mainly the Sick Puppy fans because they were off the tour and they ended up getting us instead of them. So they're like, you're not as good. Because
it was a replacement then.
Yeah. Well,
you were the replacement.
Well, we just got bumped up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So they left, we got bumped up.
Okay. So, but it seemed to me, though, like if somebody likes anything that Seether does, which is rock and roll, they would like you guys because you guys just play rock and roll.
Yeah, maybe Seether fans not so much, but I think the Sick Puppy fans didn't like us very much.
Okay, gotcha.
We also opened for In This Moment, and Motionless in White was on that tour, and that was a tough tour for us.
Lots of gimmicks.
Lots of, you know,
paint
production, lots of makeup and stuff.
You guys are not that.
It was awesome to see some of the kids come to the merch booth later with all their makeup and be like, oh, I really
trick
like
or treat.
Guys.
And we're like,
you have to give them some candy.
There you go. We had to give them parenting advice.
I like winning kids like that over. But it was never.
That's an interesting mix, though, yeah.
It was a very interesting mix.
Mm-hmm. Every time, Motionless in White was after us, so I would always say, like, adjust your training bras, ladies. Motionless in White will be out soon.
It reminds me of this great tour manager we had in England. There's a venue called Nottingham Rock City. Mm-hmm. And I asked him, what's the capacity here? He said, well, it could fit 600 Exodus fans or 1,200 Black Veil Bride fans.
That's awesome.
I'm envisioning the Motionless in White would fit in that category.
Yeah.
The skinny little goths next to the big fat
that's
thrash
awesome,
guys,
man.
Right? What was it like opening for Megadeth?
It was amazing.
Good tour for you guys?
Incredible, man.
Were you handpicked by Dave? I would assume you probably have to be.
We were. Our buddy Jose Mangan introduced him to our music. And like a few months later, we got the call of like, hey, you guys are opening for Megadeth. And we're like, what?
And it's just you two bands.
Yep.
You're the only support band.
The only support band. Yeah, wow. We got a 45-minute set. The nicest people in the world. Dave Mustaine gave us advice, you know, like...
What kind of advice did Dave give you?
Well, I remember he told us you got to get it like an American Express black card. You have to do that.
Which we have not done yet.
Well, we don't have credit.
We don't have credit.
I tried like seven times.
Why did he say you have to get a...
For the points and to start building points. And then he'd try to, you know, make us business savvy. When we were off the tour, we were about to re-sign or sign a new record deal, and he got on the phone with me for like an hour and a half and like told me like what to look out for. And
wow,
super nice.
That's like, very cool.
Like took the time out of his day, told me, call me in an hour, I'll be home, and then texted me like, I'm not home yet, call me in 20 minutes. Like, yeah, that's like really super cool. Attentive. Yeah. Nicest dude. I hate the shit that he gets.
Well, and that's the thing. So nice. You can only judge people by how they treat you. Dave's always been great to me as well.
Yeah. I mean,
nothing but good things to say about him. But then you always hear, well, Dave did this. And it's like, not to me.
Right. Right. Great right. To me, you know? Oh, yeah. I always defend him when people
Did you watch a guy like him as a guitar player and pick up some tricks? I mean, he's such a great guitar player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was a huge Megadeth fan for years. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So just to be on that tour was like incredible. And there was a minute where, I mean, just you could eyeball and you go, oh, they're like, oh, that's how he actually plays the riff. That's the riff, you know. And you go back and try to play, you know, Holy Wars, you know, the exact way, and it's hard.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the way we play it, you know, or the way they tabbed it out on Guitar World magazine. It's
but let's go even harder. Further back. And the first time I saw you guys was at Orion in Atlantic City.
Vaderfield.
And everybody on the bill was personally chosen by one of the guys, Metallica. And James was the guy who introduced you, so I'm assuming James was the guy who chose you.
Yeah.
Tell us about that story.
Go ahead, Pepe.
Our booking agent was working with the booking agent for Orion. They hired a specific booking agent for that festival. And Jose Mangan's daughter wrote a list of band names that she wanted on the bill, and it was like Pantera. It was Slayer, like a bunch of names. And King was on there. And then he sent it to him as a joke. He got back to him and said, we really are interested in King. And so it was like, all of the bands were like non-existent, like except for Slayer. It was like Black Sabbath and Led Zeppelin and stuff like that. And so that's kind of how we found out that they were interested. And it just happened. So we were stoked. We didn't realize it was like a... this person handpicked until we, I don't know if you remember this, ran into you. That's where I first met you. We were walking down the hall. We saw Lars Ulrich, and it was just us and Lars Ulrich in this giant hall, and he was like, fuck, because I was wearing like a Metallica shirt.
He was Metallica shirt and shorts with sandals.
Yes.
And he's walking with his champagne.
I didn't know whether it was the Metallica fan or just the fashion faux pas.
Completely.
Yeah. Exactly. What's he going to be more angry about?
So he's walking towards us, and I was like, I'm not going to bother him. And then as he's right there, I go like, Lars, I'm sorry to bother you, but, you know, thank you for having us. And once he knew we were a band that was on, he was like, oh, what band are you guys? And he was like, chatting it up, super nice. And then you walked up. Oh, and he told us, James showed me your video. I really like your video. I like your music.
Was that for Electric?
No, that was for Falling Down.
Okay, Falling Down, right.
And then you came in, and I was like, holy shit, we just got interrupted. Our conversation with Lars Ulrich just got interrupted by Chris Jericho. And then you told us, you know, you guys are a James Hetfield band. And I was like, oh, like, that's awesome.
Everyone knows but you guys, the James.
Yeah, we kind of didn't know then until...
You know what a funny story is? That's the moment that Lars gave me his phone number. Just so you know, I'd known him for years, but he always would only give me his assistant's phone number.
Yeah.
And that was the exact moment where Lars said, oh, give me a call later. Maybe we can go down and have some drinks at the bar. So you were witness to me getting Lars's phone number.
That's great.
I remember just sitting there like my friend goes, like, you have to treat Lars like he's the hottest chick. You can't text him all the time. Just once in a while, I was like, what's the statute? Should I wait a day? Should I wait 2 days? Should I wait a week? What do I do?
You got to treat him like he's a hot chick so the dick pic comes in 2 weeks.
So when you show up that day and you actually go to play, and James introduced you, did he
oh, my God. Well, it was insane because, you know, I was having, like, throat issues. My vocal cords were blown out.
Oh, yeah.
And some guy walks up to me. I think it was the James Hetfield handler or something, you know, and he's just like, hey, dude. James Hetfield wants to meet you. And I was just like, stop effing with me because I'm like 5 minutes before we're going on stage. And he's like, no, dude, James Hetfield's over there in the corner. And I look and James is right there with his
tank top
and his sandals. He's dressed like you.
Hey, that's why he likes you guys.
It's so weird.
You like tank top? Yeah. I like tank top. Sandals and socks, I'm in.
Yeah. It's the best.
I think that's the title for the next record, possibly.
Sandals and socks.
And sandals and socks.
Sandals and socks.
It's a good one. So this guy sees me freaking out, and he's like, what's going on?
Yeah, he's like, hey, yo, James Hetfield, he's coming up. I was like, really? And I look over, and then I start to get nervous. And then I'm facing the drum riser. He's warming up on his drum kit. And he looks at me. He's like, how you doing? I was like, I'm good. He's like, are you nervous? I said, a little bit. And I said, are you? And he's like, no. I was like, well, don't look to your right. And he's like, oh, you f***ing asshole. It's over. And then James Hetfield's walking up the stairs. Into the
we
stage.
Were like girls, like, ripping our hair. And trying yeah. to like, oh, my God, let's look good. Or like, you know, putting our hair down and crap like that. And he was just super nice dude. Broed out for like, what, a good 5 minutes, 10
yeah.
minutes at
yeah,
least, you know?
It's like L.A., huh? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, what part?
L.A.,
like,
huh?
He's like, I said, I'm from Southgate. He's like, oh, no. He's like, no kidding. He's like, I went to Downey. I was like, yeah, I know. You're James Hetfield. Yeah. and then Eddie tells him he's from Montebello. Yeah. And he's just like, oh, wow. He's like, my dad owned a trucking company
yeah,
in Montebello.
Truck,
and
truck
just,
store.
Kidding.
Yeah.
Became this organic conversation. And
he kind of like went back, too. Yeah. He's like, whoa, Montebello. I haven't heard that in forever.
Yeah,
like, holy
cool.
moly.
And that's I said, cool. just like you guys, all we wanted to do is get the hell out of L.A., you know, because we felt it was just like
yeah.
dead in the water, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah,
after
what
the
you mean? And
yeah, after the conversation real quick, he's like, hey, so do you mind if I introduce your band? And we're like...
To which we said, yeah, please don't. And then
yeah.
we got off stage.
We'll take it from here, pal.
we got it, pal.
We got it.
You didn't clear that with our manager. And then he punched me in the face and took the mic and yeah. introduced us.
It was so surreal because I remember, you know, before you play the show, you're just daydreaming. You're going to meet them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting there and seeing the magnitude of the whole entire thing. And there's like three stages, like all like... three football fields apart from each other.
James's car collection and
yes. yeah. yeah,
horror and then, memorabilia.
And Peppa says, hey, you know, meet here at a certain time because he said we had like 14 interviews or something like that. And I was like, oh, that's when my mind was at ease. And I thought, well, if we have 14 interviews and Metallica's throwing the event, they're probably going to have interviews all day. So I said, all right, we're not going to meet them. Just get that
so
out of my
hoping
head.
You wouldn't meet them.
Yeah, in a sense, you know. But and then that happened and I was just like, whoa.
Do you crazy. Remember what his intro was? Was it simple? Or did he say-
It was simple, but it was great. He said,
it's pretty long.
We're into heavy music. These guys have the riffs. You know, he really emphasized that we have good riffs.
Crunchy,
yeah,
crunchy riffs.
Yeah. He's like, when we asked our good friend Jose, he's like, he gave a few lists. One of them was King. He's
no,
like,
he said he mentioned this band, and
I already knew them. Yeah.
And I already knew them. Yeah. yeah.
I knew you guys would remember
yeah. his parts, work, yeah, for yeah. sure.
I can remember.
And then he says,
then he
and
took
then
a breath,
put his left hand on his left on his yeah. side,
fixed his hat,
he glanced over, took a sip of water, Evian.
But it's funny, it's because somebody videoed it and put it on YouTube. I think it was our label at the time, and you could see me in the background like chugging,
crying.
I'm all nervous.
Crying.
Like,
it's so beautiful. It's surreal.
I was going to ask you this, a couple questions, because I'm out of that. Obviously, but James loves the riffs, because you guys are very riffy, just like Metallica. Remind me a lot of, there's a band called Trouble. Did you ever hear Trouble?
Yeah.
So Trouble was kind of a early 80s kind of doom metal band, kind of before doom metal was popular, way way ahead of their time, kind of a Sabbath-y type thing. But I know James loves Trouble, and if you ever go back and listen, they have an album called The Skull, which is very similar to what you guys do, except for it was made like in 1985. There's a real cool reminder of,
yeah.
of you guys.
All right, on.
Check it out. But you're talking about Jose, and I just had Jose a couple days ago, interviewed him. Great connection between you guys and Jose. And Jose really...
He's family.
Besides the thing at Orion, I know of your band because of Jose always, always pimping you guys out and always putting you guys over. How did that begin?
Well, Pepe and I, when we used to play in another band, I was a listener of SiriusXM since Howard Stern went there.
Right.
And then, so I found the metal station, started listening to it, and that's when I discovered Jose. And I remember we were touring, and we were in New York, and we had an interview at the Liquid Metal station at the time. And we met him, we did the interview, and that's when I was like, hey, I'm a fan of yours. And he was wearing an Affliction shirt. And I know the guys from Affliction for the longest time, and he was like, oh, I'm a fan of their clothing. So I had my friend send him a bunch of clothes, and he had us.
Oh, so you did
place.
That.
So
you created that animal.
We were the first band, actually, that stayed at his place in Jersey. And after us, he had a bunch of bands just stay and party, and he'd make them tacos, as you know.
Taco metal party.
Taco Tuesday. But there was that moment when he was like, he was stuck in L.A., for whatever reason, he mm-hmm. just wanted to jam. He's like, dude, you know.
Yeah, he was there for NAMM. He was there for NAMM. And yeah. I called him. He's like, I was like, hey, let's hang out. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, I got nothing to do. Let's hang.
And
I was
and
like,
we
well,
were really uncertain if he was going to come out.
Right.
We were just like, he's Jose. Like, what the hell is he going to want to hang out with us?
Top guy at XM Radio for
Octane. He wanted to hang, and I said, well, let's hang, but I have to go rehearse first. He's like, where are you going to rehearse at? I was like, oh, over here in part of LA. He's like, I want to go. So I was like, all right, we'll come to my place. He went to my place. We went to the liquor store. He got like a case of beer.
Modelos.
Yeah, some Modelos.
Yeah, of course.
We went to the studio and he saw us jam out and he was just like,
but prior to that, like we were like, he wanted to jam. Jose wanted to jam. He wanted to do Pantera riffs and Metallica all night and drink and get high and it was cool. We're like, yeah, let's do that. But we were like, hey, he's like, before we do that, like, dude, hey, let's just play me a song. Like, just go, you know? And we start cracking into one song and he's just like, oh, that was awesome. Play another one. And we play another one. He's do another. And like seven songs go by and he's super excited. And we're like, holy shit, like this is rad. Like he's so super stoked. And by the time he's, you know, play another, we're like, we're done. Like that's all we have. He's like, dude, you guys have to record this. Like, please give it to me. Like when you get the demo.
That's
why we recorded the demo.
That's exactly why we recorded
the demo. He would play the demo on Liquid Metal.
So this is before you guys even had
Falling Down.
Before everything.
Wow.
Yeah, before everything.
This reminds me of like something that you would hear in the 70s where like, for example, Rush, some DJ in Cleveland just started playing Working Man that got over. It's a modern day version of that in a world where that doesn't really exist anymore.
Right. Completely, yeah.
You know,
It's awesome the way
he's championed
us in such a way, like he really believes in what we do, and it's extremely flattering. Not just because he's that dude on Liquid Metal, like he's also our family. Yeah. You know, he doesn't have to do it.
Right.
He doesn't have to do it.
We're friends, and on
top of that, he's like so not jaded by the scene. You know, like he's genuinely excited to see Chris Jericho.
Yeah, he's a fan.
Oh,
first
dude, that's so cool. Like that's so cool. I just got to talk to Chris, and oh, he's so rad. He's so that, and you know, even Dave Mustaine, who has an amazing relationship with Dave Mustaine, Jose, and Dave, and he's still blown away. Like, oh, dude, I just got a text from Dave. Wow, that's so amazing. You know, and you just genuinely see that
he's excited to be doing what he's doing,
and it's great, and I love it, man.
I told him he reminds me of Jimmy Fallon, in that whenever like I've done his show three times, and he's legit super excited to see you, to have you, like, and it's not, you know the difference, like, we know.
Oh, yeah.
You know when you've been around showbiz, and Jose's like that. Legitimately, this guy's so happy to be doing whatever he's doing, you know, and that's what, that's a great way to be.
Yeah,
you know, we should all do that.
Absolutely.
Instead of being miserable bastards like
miserable, bitter, fat,
jaded.
And ugly. Not you.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, count me out, pal.
So we had a great conversation the other day on the bus, and the subject was, what's the best song of all time?
Oh,
man. Yeah.
And so we had a bunch of different thoughts and ideas, and let's just do a little bit of a bit on that now.
A recap.
So I would say that the best song of all time is "Stairway to Heaven."
Right.
In the way that it's written, it's cliched, but as you have to take that out of the equation. Like, how many times have you heard this song? It should not be used against it.
Sure.
So I'm going to throw out "Stairway to Heaven." What do you got, Adi? Eddie?
Oh man. I was going to pick Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, were you? Okay, well, then I'll pick something else.
No. You know, Stairway is an absolutely brilliant song, considering, you know, are we doing, like, best radio song or just best song in general? Because Zeppelin, Rain Song,
but Rain
to
Song,
me, is
this is
perfect.
But I think it's always subjective to you.
Right.
But I'm saying to the mainstream world, if you had to do a poll.
That's a tough one.
Of the best songs. So, I mean, Stairway's in there.
Mm.
I think.
I pick Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody
is a great song.
I think it's amazingly written. It has mass appeal, even though it's such a complex song with so many parts. And, like, I feel like it's brilliant. Like, I feel like that's the best song.
That's the best one. You could throw. What do you got, Tony?
I got nothing, you know, because it just changes all the time. I mean,
you could throw. Okay, so let's say Enter Sandman, perfectly written song.
Enter Sandman, maybe.
Hey Jude.
I was thinking the Beatles, but I couldn't think what song from the Beatles because there's so many, you know. But Hey Jude definitely
Hey Jude
is
the one. Got a ghost in here. What else did we say the other day?
I think you brought up Hotel California.
Hotel California.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Brilliantly written song, you know.
Let's just break down "Stairway to Heaven" really fast.
Okay.
I mean, the solo alone is probably one of the best recorded, so like the perfect solo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's everything is just filling. It 24 bars of glory.
Yeah.
It's great. There's you can't really
the build up.
The build up to where it goes. Right? One Metallica, speaking of build ups.
That's
That's a great one. Well, that build up where it takes you to just another world.
November Rain has that to it as well, you know. It's funny
and
too.
I'm not even a big Guns N' Roses fan.
But just as a song, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you this about Jimmy Page. You're talking about being a big Zeppelin fan. Does it not blow your mind that the solo from Heartbreaker is so out of tune?
Well, yeah.
But that's how it was back then.
But that's
then,
the
right?
magic of yeah. Zeppelin. That's the magic of those bands back then. You don't get that nowadays. Everybody wants to be so in tune and polished and fake. It's not real. They'll track drums and play. What is that? What is that called? When they play. Like every triggers? Band's doing it now.
808s?
No, when they spit the space bar and they're not even playing.
Cycle recording?
Come on, guys.
Or like triggers. Quantizing.
No, they hit the space bar and they're playing live with the tracks.
The
tracks, yeah.
Oh,
they play with tracks.
Yeah.
Everybody is missing the magic of a live show. And that was captured back then in those old recordings where the guitar might be out of tune, the intonation's out, you know, and the Robert Plant squeaking, you know, in his vocal cord.
You can hear Bonham's hi-hat squeaking.
It's awesome. You can a couple AC/DC records are out of tune, out of time. Yeah. The guitars are off.
The best are those Rolling Stone records where Charlie Watts is just like completely off time, like with the tambourine. I mean, it's probably not even Charlie Watts. It's probably Keith Richards. Yeah,
he's probably falling down or something.
Completely.
In Black Sabbath, in the recordings, like if you pay attention, like I could hear Geezer Butler hit wrong notes sometimes.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah. That's
and the drumming's awesome. Like super. Like there's so many flubs in the drumming that makes the song so awesome.
Well, because it's humans. We're humans.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's one thing. I mean, when you record a record now, I mean, there is a tendency to record a record at the moment, and I just had to send one of the comps back. So I'm like, dude, this is too perfect.
Yeah.
Vocal comps. Like, there needs to be some emotion and some wavering and some cracking. If not, just get freaking Britney Spears to do it.
Completely,
right?
Yeah.
You need to have that element. But that is gone, you know? We toured with Slash a couple years ago, and I was on tour with Shinedown, and I went to see Slash, and he goes, who are you on tour with? I said, Shinedown. He goes, I heard they use tracks. I said, Slash, everyone uses tracks. He couldn't believe it. Like, they use tracks. Yeah, so does everyone.
Yeah.
Except for your band.
Yeah, we don't.
You guys don't either. But, I mean, that's cool when you have that.
We had a really cool moment, and it's one of my favorite moments on stage where Eddie's guitar, I don't remember what happened to it, and Tony got on the mic and said, sorry, we're experiencing technical difficulties. And then Eddie got on the mic and said, that, we're not sorry. That's what happens when your guitar f***s up and you don't have tracks playing behind you. You hear no guitar.
Right.
And then I remember the crowd, you know, went crazy, and I was like, that's... I like that about our band, you know?
But that is cool, you know? Do you guys ever do any jamming, like jam songs? Because with no tracks, you guys can just go off in outer space if you want, or you try not to do that.
We never have the time to, you know? I think when we do, when we have, you know, the handful of headliners, we'll jam out Bleed Easy, and that turns into like a elongated blues thing, you know? Because I'm a blues guy at heart, you know? I love all the 12-bar stuff, and... You know, so that's the only time we get to do it. You know, otherwise we're opening for someone and we have a strict time and we have to be off stage at whatever. And
right.
So everything's like pretty structured. But the fun part about it, there is no tracks, and I never play the same solo twice. I never sing the same lines twice. I always just
that's
every
cool.
show is different. You know, mm-hmm. for sure.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about being the power trio, and obviously you guys are a business as well, do you have a manager? Do you manage yourself?
Not anymore.
Okay.
We don't now.
So who takes care of what within the band dynamic? Like when you're on tour.
Well, I do all the business end of things. I tour manage us. So.
Okay, you're the TM.
Yeah, I'm the TM.
All right,
and the tech.
Do you, are you the main? Who's the major songwriter? You guys all write together? Do you come up with the riffs, or does Tony come up with the riffs? Or
I'll take the brunt of most of the songwriting. But, you know, Pepe will always throw ideas at me and be like, oh, that's cool, you know, let's use that. And oddly enough, Pepe has come up with
believe this.
Yeah. Some killer melody lines. I think you came up with the, Sunday Smile.
Sunday Smile.
Yeah. So Maybe. He comes up with cool stuff, you know.
Okay.
Tony, every now and again, in the first album, he wrote a lot of cool shit. And then he just kind of like... I don't know what the hell happened to you. What the hell happened to you?
So you don't do the business. You don't do the song. What do you do, Tony?
I just eat and sleep.
Moral support. Comic relief.
No, I mean, I do all the merch. I set up the merch. I tear down the merch. You know, I load in, load out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The usual. Eddie drives at night, usually, you know, because him and I are too busy getting drunk.
Because Eddie doesn't drink, right?
I do not.
That's a great guy to have in the band.
Oh, yeah,
it is. You have a designated driver at all times. It's perfect.
Who, even if he's not on tour, goes to sleep at 5 in the morning, so it's perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah.
He's wide awake.
Exactly. But then you do have those tour hours, too. Like, this tour has actually been pretty good as far as I'm getting up usually around 10 or 11. But a lot of times you get in that funk where you just get up at 3 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon. It's just like, oh, my gosh.
Man,
it's like
I
the vampire hours, right?
I always wake up early. Always.
Really?
Always.
He's
it's
a freak.
A curse.
So can you sleep okay on the bus?
No.
Really?
No.
It's an acquired art, isn't it?
It is, absolutely, yeah. I've had a hard time sleeping. In fact, I've napped here, which is something I can never do.
Yeah.
So here I've been sleeping so poorly that I have to do the 3 o'clock pass out for 30 minutes.
Yeah, a little nap. Yeah. You always see Frank napping around that time. That's a good time to put your balls in his face and take a picture.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about all the tours that you've done, which one of your favorite tour, if you had to pick one?
My favorites have always, we've done Clutch tours a lot, and those have been my
a good mix.
All time favorites. Like, we've done it 3 or 4 times, and it's like I have the time of my life every time. Like, it's a party. We had a thing where Eddie would say to the crowd, like, oh, it's Oscar's birthday, but their tour manager, every night. So every night, like, the venue would give him a bottle or something. So we celebrated his birthday every night, the whole fucking
tour. Make sure you get him f***ed up, and the venue would get him, like, a case of something or a big old bottle
top
of something.
Top shelf tequila.
He's like, I love it. He has the same voice as Pepe, by the way.
We're from the same town, actually.
Really?
He's from Juarez.
Yeah. That's funny, too, because Juarez is the home of the Guerrero family.
Yeah.
Eddie
exactly.
Guerrero and his father and all that stuff. When you grew up in Juarez, do you know that? Do they have kind of a legendary name?
You know, not...
Or not really?
Not so much.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, I did know that. I did know that they were from the area.
I didn't know if it was one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, the Guerreros.
I mean, they were big, but they were... Like, I didn't know they were from Juarez. Like, that was never part of their gimmick. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, they were just...
But they used to... His father used to promote there, but that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, your favorite tour, Tony?
I would say Megadeth.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to hang out with Dave Mustaine a lot, and accidentally ran into their dressing room one time while they were getting ready to pray before. And our dressing room was, we had to go through theirs to get to ours. So I walk in and they were like getting ready and they look back at me. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I said, I needed to pass through. And he's like, you're just in time. You want to pray with us? I was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
There's been a lot of good imitations on this show so far.
Hey, what Tony, do you mean? What do you mean you're going to pray with us, Tony? What do you mean?
So did you?
Yeah, no.
So whole band was praying?
The whole band, yeah. They were out there in circle, and I got in there. And
was that with Kiko in the band? Or is that
no, that was with...
Before that. Broderick. Chris Broderick.
Yeah.
And drove.
Yes.
Sean drove. Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Just to pray for a good show?
Yeah, you know, the usual pre-show prayer.
That's good.
And then we prayed again.
May my solos be killer ripping shred.
We prayed with him at the end of the end of the tour.
No, that was a cool thing because he offered. He's like, hey, I know this kind of sounds weird, but do you think maybe I could pray for you guys?
Okay,
and we're like, yeah, let's do it. And we went in the back room and he pinched your butt or something, right, Pepe?
It's not my butt.
Yeah, and it was awesome. It was really super uber cool. Like, he said some rad shit.
Yeah, it was like emotional. Like, it was like
within the prayer.
Yeah, may we be protected by the shield, and may their vocals be drip like honey.
Drip honey from a tree.
Yeah, it was really.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I wish I would have recorded
it. I was getting teary eyed. Like, I couldn't believe, you know, Dave Mustaine's.
That's once again, you don't ever hear that side.
Yeah, completely.
Of
right, right.
You know.
And then afterwards, because during the prayer, he's like, you know, keep me in their life. I'm, you know, I'm their big brother, something like that. And,
yeah.
And then after the prayer, he's like, guys, I mean it. Please get my number down and call me if you need anything.
Yeah.
And every now and then he'll text me just to make fun of me because, you know, Mexican.
Because you're dark.
Yeah, because I'm dark. You know?
Hey, you got your green card yet?
What'd he say?
You got your green card yet?
But you were born in the States, weren't you?
Yes.
So Pepe is the one.
Pepe's the one that needs a green card.
Pepe's the true Mexican in the band.
That's how we figure out who the racists are. Like, we'll go to radio.
Oh, that's the best.
And they're like, "How you doing, Pepe?" Right away, they don't even, you know, obviously didn't research who the. we are. Yeah. And it's always, I'm Pepe. And like, oh, Pepe, so you're racist, eh? Oh, I'm sorry. That's
instantly,
not
we're like, oh, you're a racist.
You
and we start, oh, for sure. Oh, yeah, we start laughing. Oh, yeah. Their faces get all like, what do you mean?
We turn it into a joke, but we just make them super uncomfortable.
Wow, yeah.
And it works all the time.
Well, like we're great guests on radio stations, or the worst guests. Yeah. They're like, hey, can't wait
they
to get this out of here.
They hate us.
Why is that?
Because of that. Because we're shit talkers. Like, we're constant shit talkers to everybody that we meet.
To each other and everyone else.
Yeah. I had a radio interview this morning for this show, and it's one of those things.
I heard you. You kept me up.
Oh. You weren't kept.
Oh, no, that was another one. That was at 10:30.
Ah.
I had one at 8.
You were in Kemp Hill, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Well, I woke up and I saw that we were in Kemp Hill. But in Kemp, in Kemp Hill, we played a show to the rock DJ.
Oh, was that
only.
It?
Like, he was the only person in attendance.
Wait a minute. You had a show and he's the only one who showed up?
Yes.
We didn't.
That's great.
Did we do an acoustic thing too in the station?
Yeah, it might have been the guy that you interviewed with.
It might have been.
Older fella?
Yeah.
Maybe
I wake up in the morning and, you know, get up a little bit kind of tired and you know, soupy from last night. And I go inside and it's like a house. You know, one of those radio stations is like a house.
Yeah.
And you walk through and they walk and I sit down and I look over and there's two kids just staring at me. Because I'm like, hey, dude, what's going on? I was like, oh, geez, the Children of the Damned are over there. And so, yeah, these are my kids. I pulled them out of school so they could they could meet you. I was like, you pulled them out of school? Like the whole day? I'm going to be here for like 20 minutes. And these kids did not say a word and just sat there like super uncomfortable and super weirded out. And I'm like, did they really want to be here? Or did you just bring them in for you?
I know, right?
You know what I mean? But it's kind of a weird thing because I'm like tired and I look like, you know, red eyes and there's kids. Oh, there's kids. I better pay attention and be nice, you know? Hi, guys.
No, really, they're big fans. Guys. And he's the one wearing a Jericho shirt.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
He's got his belt over his shoulder.
For them?
Yeah, can you sign this for them?
Well, how do you guys take that when you have a show that's a... one person, for example, or 10 people, man. Or
we just that one was, well, we've had a few of those, like one or two people. That was the first one. That was one of our very first tours. It was Christmas time. It was December 23rd.
I almost felt, you know, I felt bad for the guy.
Yeah,
because it was his radio,
his Christmas party.
Like he's had it, you know, annually for years. So he was just like, "Oh, it's always the best. It's always
the
best."
During the interview, he's like, "Oh, you guys, you're gonna love this. We do it every year. It's a Christmas thing, and it's great. It's gonna be a good time.
It's a jolly old time."
He was literally the only one there watching,
and you could see the devastation in his face.
Does nobody like him? Like, how could nobody else be there?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
I think it was a sign of like the whole rock and roll just taking a nosedive, just rock and roll radio. What that entire run, we were like hitting radio stations in Chicago, and they'd be like, "You're the last interview. It's
you know,
closing down."
Yeah, that's right.
That is hard with that because there is no big station in Chicago or New York or LA even.
Yeah,
in these areas of the country, the Midwest and you know Pennsylvania,
there's great stations.
There are stations, which is great.
Yeah,
which keeps it alive. But
yeah,
what was your favorite tour you did, Ed?
The Fozzy tour.
Oh, look at you.
All right.
And I can tell you why. Because it's a blast. We're in a bus. We're hanging out. Everybody here is super awesome. You know, all your guys and our guys mesh very well.
Yeah.
You know, we're having a blast, you know, and it's great. Like, when you're in and out of town, it's cool because I sleep in your bunk in your jacket. And when it gets cold, I just turn the lights on your jacket and it warms me right up.
I've been waiting to say that the whole time.
It's good.
No, it's funny because, like I said, your name has come up with us so many times. I think there was one point where we were thinking about going to Europe together.
Yeah.
Then there's the other project that we're talking about that I can't really announce, but it's going to happen where we go in the water. You know, but I mean, but that's that. I like the fact that we were able to finally hook up. Now, have you guys gone to Europe yet?
Once, and it was horrible.
Europe. Right.
Yeah. We didn't have a great time. It was fun. It was 2 weeks in the UK, and we just went up with bands that were unknown, and we're unknown here, let alone go to Europe and see.
So it's called the Unknown Tour.
Exactly.
Yeah, the promoting was not done properly.
Promoting was horrible. The bands were horrible. I'm just kidding. No, the bands were great.
The bands were awesome. Lion Eyes and Planet of Zeus.
Yeah, the great bands. And it just nobody cared about the promotion. What was it? It was like a...
Lords of the Riff.
Lord of the Riff.
Well, that's what the tour was called.
Lord of the Riff 2.
Lords of the Riff Tour.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Lords of the Riff 1.
They had one.
They had one.
Right. That was Scorpion Child, I think, and... Monster Truck.
Okay, I know those guys.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So what did you think of Europe? Did you like it? Or
I loved it. Yeah. You know, we ended up using it as a... Because we were spending so much money out of the king pocket, you know, that we might as well use it as a vacation. So, man, we'd wake up in the morning and we'd all go off in our own ways and look at castles and drink coffee. And
it's funny because you realize, like, our country, like, this is an older city, for example, probably... Right. 20s and 30s, or you might see like a church from 1840, but there it's like, oh, yeah, there's a church from 800.
Yeah.
You realize just how young this country is in comparison to being over there.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, the architecture is insane.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So
everything's
absolutely.
Just like gorgeous. You come back home, you're like, ooh, this is like, we need to spruce up this place.
Yeah, get rid of the McDonald's and Starbucks and build a statue.
Please.
When you talk about the big king, the money, whatever pot, the king pot, do you have to, every tour that you get, do you have to decide whether it's worth it to do? Do you turn a lot of tours down, or do you just go wherever as much as you possibly can?
Early on in our youth of the band, we would take any tour. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter. We were going to go out for $200 a night and just be out and stay out, you know. Working in the scene, working with certain people in the industry, like, you start realizing that you're no longer working for yourself, you're working for others, and they're just
record companies
and management.
And you know
you get really worried because you're out on the road trying to have a good time, and then you have to, like, oh crap, we have to pay this person and we have to pay this company, and it just started sucking. So we started trying to be very selective with where we're going out now. But
and you start to feel that they're just pushing you with any band just so they can get their percentage.
Exactly. Their percentage is their nickel and diming 40 other bands just to pay their cable bill. And we're like, oh, my phone's going to be shut off. Like, literally, my phone's going to be shut off today if I don't find a Verizon. You know what I'm saying?
Nice little Verizon plug.
Verizon, give me free shit.
Shout out to Verizon. We love you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and like you said, that's the business side of the business that sometimes is the shitty part. You know,
yeah.
The artistry and the
you realize
part.
Everybody looks out for each other except for musicians.
The band.
Like the bands. They're always the last ones. The bands are the last ones to get anything. And they'll push you, like, oh, go work with this songwriter and go work with this producer. And everybody's making so much money, you know, like
the producer
makes so much money and the songwriter makes so much money and, like, everybody makes so much money and we're not making anything.
Right. Yeah.
And you realize, like, you're basically, like you said, just working for so everybody else gets paid.
Yeah.
It sucks.
So what are you thinking for the next step for King then? I know you had your last record came out about a year ago or so.
Our last record just came out October 7th.
Okay,
yeah.
October, right.
And it just feels like we've not gained any ground on it. Basically because our record was released in October and we were out with Clutch, and the label thought it best that our record come out during that time. Mm-hmm. Which was a great idea if we would have had CDs the night of our record release party, which we didn't. So I don't know who gets shot there, but that wasn't our fault. We were out. I said felt. Anyways, what was I saying?
You gotta love that stuff. Like, you did not have your own CD at the release party.
At our record release show, you know. In, where were we?
You know?
North Carolina somewhere.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
I just got a tweet today from some guy that I wrote another book, and they put them out as, it's called a galley.
Yeah.
Which means it's like, it's the almost finished version, but they sent out to reviewers and stuff.
Okay.
Some guy tweets, I'm reading Chris Jericho's new book. I'm like, that's interesting. I don't have one of those things.
Oh, shit. You want to hear something rad?
I have a galley. I don't have a galley.
That same story happened to us where we didn't have our CD. Our brand new CD hadn't come out yet. And we were just waiting for it to see it. We were like kind of anticipating. We do a signing at FYE and I don't know where the hell we're at. Oh, Kentucky.
It was maybe 4 days before the album was going to be
Louder
released.
Than Life, right?
Louder Than Life.
Yes.
Yeah.
And some kid comes with the copy of our record. And I'm thinking, wow, this guy like totally bootlegged this killer version. I'm like, holy, where'd you get this from? He's like, there's like hundreds at the FYE tent. I was like, how the hell does FYE?
We didn't get a physical copy.
I had to go and steal.
You stole your own record.
Yeah, I had to steal my own record.
You could get arrested.
F them.
For stealing your own record.
Completely.
What a great publicity stunt that would
so
be.
I'm so angry.
Only in America.
Know, right? Yeah.
We should have gotten you arrested.
I wish.
that would have probably helped us out, right?
Yeah.
Well, just winding down, man. Last couple questions. What's your favorite song to play live from your catalog, Eddie?
Oh, man, I have two. Trails and Veins and Breathe in the Water.
Breathe in the Water's good.
Yeah.
It's great acoustic too. I watched a video of it online. It's really good stuff.
Oh, man, thank you,
guys, you guys have great harmonies together.
Thank you very
and
much.
And then Pepe just hits like a box.
I don't know if that's a good thing.
He just sits down or whatever, like milk crate, and you just go.
Oh, no. Yeah.
If you could see Chris's facial expressions.
I love how proud I was of that performance on the Cajon, it's called. And I like how you just belittled it and ridiculized it.
So, Pepe, you like playing on boxes, huh?
Full drum set next time we do acoustic.
I know.
Yeah. Just to use any of it.
Yeah.
Just with brushes, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But Tony, your favorite?
You know, I would have to agree with Eddie on that. Those two are my favorite play as well.
Yeah. Why is that, by the way?
For me, I think Breathe in the Water, it's in a lower tuning. Mm-hmm. And I think it personally feels more natural vocally. You know, and then heavy, it sounds so heavy.
Well, I mean, it's lower tune, but it's at high B. That
right, well, his for him, is again so personally tough. For me, but for him, I know that that's a tougher note to hit.
Sure. It's
but
very
I feel
Chris Cornell, your voice has that tendency to
it's
it.
Right up there.
Great. Yeah, it's very high.
And I feel like it's a great reaction from the crowd. Both that song and Trails and Veins off our first album.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat Trails and Veins, but the reason I like it so much is because I feel like it encompasses everything that King's about.
Mm-hmm.
It has really nice melodies. It's really heavy. And I feel like we all overplay in a good way, mm-hmm. You know what I mean. So like I really like Trails and Veins live, and Shoreline. It's a song that's a thrash song.
You played it last night, right?
We did not. No,
what's the one you played last night?
Pristine Warning.
That was great too.
Yeah. Thanks. Shoreline is our fastest song.
That's off our first
and
record.
I love playing that thing live.
That's something when you bust that out in front of a Megadeth crowd or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
We've done it a couple of nights on this tour.
This tour as well.
I want to say, didn't we? I don't remember. I thought we opened with the Megadeth with that one, but that we opened up with a song that doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh, that's right.
How could it not exist?
And never made
long story.
Oh, okay. Never made the record.
I
don't even remember what it's called.
Used as a Fool.
Used as a Fool.
Yeah.
Oh. The Lost King track.
The Lost King track.
It's recorded too.
Maybe it'll be twice.
Yeah.
Maybe both versions will make the box set one of these days.
One of these days, that'd be great. Garage
and
days.
I'll play on it.
Yeah. When you say box, you mean when FS is playing.
The box.
It's a shoebox with a bunch of our CDs.
So, and the last thing, every tour, we go to a truck stop in the middle of the night, and I always get off the bus, and I say, I'm going to buy the dumbest thing I can find. And I said, I'm going to buy it for you, Pepe. Explain what I got for you.
It was a salt and pepper holder. Salt and pepper shaker holder.
Sure.
That's a turtle wearing a sombrero and a sarape. It's beautiful.
Which, by the way, was...
It looks a lot like you, by the way.
It looks a lot like me.
It was under lock and key, too. I had to go to the lake. Can you open up this case? She goes, which one you want? I go, this one. She goes, you want that? I'm like...
We put it here because nobody wants these
if
things.
Nobody wants it. Why is it locked up? You should get rid of it.
She's like, that's my storage case. It's from my house.
It's a real turtle.
That's what you don't know. Yeah, when he wakes up, you're going to have a treat.
Right?
Guys, what a great time, man, and a great tour, and it's a pleasure getting to hang out with you guys.
Oh, likewise. Thank you for having us.
Great hang with King, Eddie, Tony, and Pepe. Killer time on tour together just a few weeks ago, I promise. I'll tell you about the next thing Fozzy and King are doing very, very soon. In the meantime, go check out online Hot for Teacher King, Chris Jericho. When we were in San Antonio, we laid that sucker down and we had a great time. So looking forward to that and looking forward to seeing King live. They're out now with Hell Yeah. It's going to be a great show in Grand Rapids, Michigan, July 19th, 25th, Poughkeepsie, New York, 26th, New York at the Gramercy Theater. They're all across the country. They're also doing the Chicago Open Air Festival this weekend at Toyota Park. Ozzy and Kiss, lots of other great bands also on the bill. Go check them out. King is a great live band, like I said, like Black Sabbath in 1978. And do yourself a favor, get the new King album on Amazon, you'll love it, and order my new book while you're there. No is a four-letter word. Go to amazon.com/shop/IamJericho, and who knows, if you search Amazon hard enough, you might also find the latest refreshing summer product from Team Tiger Awesome.
Who's that bending the risers on a bodacious wave? Why, it's Spurts Cameron, the dog that knows two things, how to party, and that a hot Spurts the better get her mouth wetter. What's that, Canine Kahuna? The waves are gnarly. And Spurts got a new flavor called Spurt Cream? Whoa! That means I can get my lips on a hot creamy Spurt day or night. I can't wait to get cream. That's right, Spurts Cameron. Your best bros don't even ask. Cream their mouth with a hot, juicy spurt for an ultimate high five. At the hospital? Oh, brother, you're hurting for a spurtin'. What about a scientist?
I'm spurting already.
I'm gonna tell him about the contest. This summer, enter Spurts Under the Sea Getaway, and you might win one of 1,000 pearl necklaces. So suck it, spray it, choke it down, it doesn't matter. Just get your hands on a can and jam your finger into the rim and see if you've won. To find out more about the giveaway, listen to the Team Tiger Awesome Show every Sunday on the Jericho Network and Podcast One.
Go subscribe to the Team Tiger Awesome Show at Apple Podcasts. Be sure to leave them a 5-star rating and review as well. Leave all the Jericho Network podcasts 5-star ratings and reviews at Apple Podcasts. Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. The Raven Effect. Raven discusses this week how he created the Raven character for ECW. Very interesting. And, of course, the flagship show, Keep It at 100 with Conan. Wow, some real controversial statements from Shane Helms on this week's show. Don't forget about Beyond the Darkness. Get your paranormal fix every weekday with brand new episodes Monday through Friday. And you can get in on their True Crime Tuesdays as well. Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, the two guys behind Beyond the Darkness, are doing a weekly True Crime Tuesday podcast. But you can only get that by signing up at patreon.com for just $5 a month. You'll get a new episode every single Tuesday, episodes commercial free. No commercials. Sign up now at patreon.com. And by the way, those controversial statements that Shane Helms told on the Conan show were about his dismissal from TNA, so you don't want to miss that. All right, thanks for listening, and thanks to all this episode's tremendous sponsors and all of you for supporting them. Talking about DDP Yoga, go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Get 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY yoga-related Malchen clothing. Go to TrueCar. You'll get cheaper, quicker, easier car buying experience. I know from experience myself. I've had the experience, so I know that it really, really is the real deal. Thank you for listening. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next, and coming up next Wednesday. I'll tell you what. On the eve of my goddaughter's wedding and my cousin's wedding, I'm going to talk with my brothers, the two dudes I grew up with. It's Childhood is Jericho with Wise Cousin Chad. And how you doing, Todd? Good dudes. And we talk about growing up in the 70s and 80s. The three of us grew up together. And you're going to love this one. Childhood is Jericho this Wednesday on Talk is Jericho. Don't you dare miss it. It's going to be a great time. You guys have a great weekend, and we'll see you very soon. And in the meantime, in the between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy.
Listen to new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday on the Podcast One app, or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or PodcastOne.com.